The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Lisa Bernhard for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Kids on the Go. Kids on the Go is generously supported by the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Scout Life. Fast facts about the Civil War. The war officially began on April 12, 1861, when Confederate forces attacked Fort Sumter in Charleston, South Carolina. Nearly 250,000 soldiers were 16 years old or younger. July marks the 164th anniversary of the Civil War's first major land battle between Confederate South and Union North troops. The first Battle of Bull Run. It took place July 21, 1861. More than 620,000 Americans died during the Civil War. Bull Run was fought on Wilmer McLean's farm. He later moved to Appomattox Courthouse, Virginia, but he couldn't escape the war. When Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendered to Union General Ulysses S. Grant, they met in McLean's parlor. After the war, the 13th Amendment was passed, which officially made slavery illegal in the United States. Ask the Gear Guy. What should be in my first aid kit? By Alex in Tallahassee, Florida. You can buy a prepackaged kit at the Scout Shop or build one yourself. Either way, get familiar with what's inside. And what you have inside should include latex-free adhesive bandages in assorted sizes, sterile gauze pads, latex-free adhesive tape, moleskin, soap or alcohol-based hand sanitizing gel, scissors, tweezers, disposable latex-free gloves, CPR breathing barrier, pencil and paper or small notebook. It's also a good idea to have triple antibiotic ointment and hydrocortisone cream. But be aware that some people might be allergic to these, so ask permission before applying. You can add more to your a group first aid kit, like more bandages, alcohol swabs, and a first aid manual, such as the First Aid Merit Badge pamphlet. Store it all in a plastic case or inside a large resealable plastic bag. One case that's ideal for taking with you on the trail is Alps Mountaineering First Aid Carrier. These carriers have elastic cords and toggles to easily attach the kit to the outside of your backpack. That makes it easy to access, saving valuable time during an emergency. The carriers also have reflective printing to provide greater visibility in low-light conditions. This is my first summer camp. What should I bring? Asks Nicole from Norfolk, Virginia. Awesome! You should have a ton of fun, especially if you have the gear you need. First, check with the council camp you'll be attending. Camps usually provide a suggested packing list that includes stuff like insect repellent, clothes including a swimsuit for aquatic activities, hygiene items, a scout is clean, sleeping bag and pillow, sunscreen, money for cool stuff at the trading post, any medication you take. When heading to camp, make sure to pack the 10 Scout essentials: pocket knife, first aid kit, flashlight, extra clothing, rain gear, water storage, trail food, matches or fire starter, sun protection, map and compass. Carry these items in a day pack for easy access. Stay hydrated with a water bottle like the Camelback Eddy or the Nalgene, both available at the Scout Shop. You can also use the Life Gear Carbiner mug to keep water handy. Depending on the camp, you might also need a tent, cooking equipment, or a cot. Don't forget to pack your uniform, handbook, medical forms, and merit badge pamphlets. Scout Life Headliners. Scouts and others with big stories. Conservation Champ. Eagle Scout stands up for the environment. Nicholas Storm, age 18, from Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. Scout rank, Eagle Scout, Assistant Scout Master, Troop 277, Ponte Vedra Beach, Crew 875, St. Augustine, Florida. Made headlines at the 2024 HOSA Future Health Professionals International Leadership Conference, where he won the Excellence Award in the biotechnology category and was a top 10 finalist. The scoop? Among other honors, Nicholas was chosen to attend Florida American Legion Boys State, where, as a congressman, he won the best bill in the House, which focused on reducing red tide in Florida. Along with earning Scouting America's Distinguished Conservation Service Award, Nicholas also received an Environmental Protection Agency Award. Linguistics Champ. Eagle Scout succeeds in national program. Belen Harrow, age 17, from Venice, California. Scout rank, Eagle Scout, Troop 927, Westchester, California. Made headlines by being awarded the 2024-25 National Security Language Initiative for Youth Merit Scholarship from the U.S. Department of State. The scoop? With the program, Belen studied Mandarin for 8 weeks in Taipei, Taiwan, after which she achieved the advanced high level on the oral proficiency interview. This highly competitive program has only a 15% acceptance rate. Easton Curry, age 13, from Germantown, Tennessee. Scout rank, Star Scout, Troop 74, Germantown. Made headlines for winning 3 medals in the regional round of the 2024 and 2025 International Academic Competition, which took place in Nashville and Memphis, respectively. In both competitions, he won gold in science and geography and a silver in history. Akash Burudaraju, Arav Pampadi, Aryan Ramareddy, Athrav Trivedi. Their ages, Akash is 11, Arav is 11, Aryan is 12, and Athrav is 11, from Fremont, California. Scout rank, Akash, Arav, and Athrav are Arrow of Light Scouts in Troop 125, Fremont. Aryan is a Tenderfoot Scout in Troop 132, Fremont. Made headlines for winning the 2024 Champions Award at the first LEGO League NorCal Official Qualifiers Tournament. Along with their teammate, Hirdan Nirmal, the Gearshift team advanced to regionals where they won second place in core values. Hayden Huntsinger, age 16, from Pensacola, Florida. Scout rank, Life Scout, Troop 495 in Pensacola. Made headlines for placing 5th at the 2024 Florida High School Athletic Association Swimming and Diving Championships. Hayden also excels in baseball and football. During his first week of playing varsity baseball, he was nominated for Florida High School Player of the Week, and this year, he was named by the Pensacola News Journal as one of the top 49 players to watch during the 2025 season. 100 Miles on the Salmon. Scouts found adventure, rafting, and kayaking, a scenic Idaho river. After paddling for miles and navigating through rapids and around boulders, it feels nice to hop out of your inflatable raft for a bit to admire the scenery. For Troop 260 of San Jose, California, the scouts could do that while relaxing in geothermal pools alongside the river. There were a bunch of hot springs throughout the trip, says Life Scout Matthew Lewis, 16. There were different pools that were different temperatures. Some were hot, some were cold. They were definitely a highlight of the trip. That trip last July took the group 100 miles down Idaho's Salmon River, past towering jagged cliffs and cascading waterfalls. It took 3 years of planning, but the result was an adventure the scouts had never experienced before. Something different. For years, Troop 260 alternated its high adventure plans. 1 year it's backpacking, the next canoeing, then back to backpacking, and then canoeing again. They wanted to try a new activity. "We'd never been whitewater rafting," said Aiden Lavery, 17, a Life Scout. "We voted, and Salmon won. When you're looking up the pictures, we saw canyons. It was pretty amazing." The Salmon River cuts across central Idaho, running 425 miles through national forest and mountain ranges. It took 14 hours on the road, traveling from California to Bradley Scout Reservation, where the group spent the first night and met their guides. "They showed us all the equipment we'd use," said First Class Scout Pierce Rock, 15. "They showed us dry bags, as well as the life jackets and helmets." Rafting 101. The scouts planned for 20 miles a day on the river. Some of them would ride in one of the large inflatable rafts that would also carry their gear. Others would paddle one-person inflatable kayaks. "We called the kayaks duckies, and the rafts were the mama ducks," said Life Scout Manasa Ramperez, 17. The scouts would trade off because a kayak gave a different experience than a raft. In a raft, you could relax more, while in a kayak, it puts you closer to the water. "Even the smaller rapids, you felt them more," Pierce says. "It felt more like you're in nature." When the group approached rapids, the protocol was always the same. "We'd park the rafts before the rapids," Manasa says. "The guides would make sure it was safe to pass." I think all the scouts enjoyed the rapids, especially the higher class ones. Whitewater rapids are rated from the calm class, 1, to the potentially deadly class, 6. In scouting, older scouts who are classified swimmers can take on rapids up to class 4 with a professionally trained guide. The whitewater varied between class 2 and class 4 on the troop's route. Some days took the scouts over more rapids than others, but every day they found something fun to see or do. Crew camaraderie. Idaho is home to hundreds of hot springs. Most of them are heated by energy from underground fault lines. In addition to soaking in these pools near the river's shores, the scouts checked out caves adorned with ancient paintings, and they spotted wildlife, including bighorn sheep and river otters. They also went on day hikes and bathed under waterfalls. "There was this waterfall that changed direction based on how the wind was blowing," Manasa says. On the water, the scouts entertained themselves by telling riddles, or hopping out of the rafts to swim where it was safe. A huge part is spending time with your troop and your guides, Pierce said. High adventure trips are more than trying a new activity. They're also times to build friendships and have fun. At the end of each day, the guides led the group in playing games and singing songs. They also prepared gourmet meals and served a Dutch oven cake after each dinner. It wasn't like our normal food, Matthew says. We're accustomed to hot dogs and cookies. River reflections. Even though they had traveled 100 miles in less than a week, the scouts weren't quite ready for their journey to end. It was a different feeling than what we feel at most 50-milers, Matthew says. On this one, it was fine to go home, but we weren't itching to get out of the water. While they had responsibilities throughout the trip, relying on confident guides helped relieve the stress of figuring out a new activity in an unfamiliar country. Building self-reliance is a valuable exercise, and the scouts do that during their monthly campouts. But going on a high adventure trip where they could focus more on having fun made everything more enjoyable. It was an awesome trip, Aiden says. I think a week of fun is awesome for a troop. Safety gear. It's important that on any float trip you wear the proper safety gear. Wear a whitewater-rated helmet and a life jacket that fits correctly. To determine if your life jacket fits, put it on and secure the straps. Then lift your arms over your head. If it rides up around your ears, it's too big. If you can't secure the straps, it's too small. Fun in the sun. Here's what to pack if you're headed to the beach. Most everyone looks forward to a day at the beach. Having the right gear can make the day the best it can be. Here are a few suggestions for what to pack. Cover up. You'll have more fun in the sun if you don't get sunburn. Throw on a rash guard like Columbia's kids Sandy Shore's long sleeve sun guard shirt. It blocks ultraviolet rays from the sun and keeps you from getting scratched by the surface of your surfboard or boogie board. Pair your rash guard with a quick-drying short, like Columbia's PFG Backcast 2 shorts, or Columbia's Sandy Shore's board shorts for girls. Both are tested to dry quickly and have hand pockets and feature fabric that block harmful rays. Wear a wide-brimmed hat to shield your face, ears, and neck. We like Dakine's broad-brimmed Pindo straw hat, which comes with an adjustable chin strap to keep it in place. For eyewear, Gooder makes the best bang-for-your-buck sunglasses. They're fun, colorful, and fit all face shapes and sizes. The polarized, glare-reducing lenses make it easier to see in and around water, and they protect your eyes. Protect your feet from the hot sand with a pair of flip-flops, like the Reef Ahi, or sandals that have ankle support. The Teva Original Universal sandal is a good sandal for running around on the beach or in the water. Drink up. Bring an insulated water bottle. It'll help your water stay cool in the heat. Drink lots of water to help avoid dehydration. Try an iron flask water bottle. These stainless steel bottles with double-walled vacuumed insulation can keep your water cold for up to 24 hours. They come in a variety of sizes ranging from 12 to 64 ounces. Slather up. Any skin not covered by clothing should be covered with sunscreen, one with SPF 30 or higher. It should be one that's reef safe, so it won't harm coral and aquatic animals. Nothing is 100% effective, so remember to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours or after swimming or sweating. Let it dry before getting back out there. We recommend Sun Bums Baby Bum Mineral 50, which is SPF 50. It's also water resistant and provides a broad spectrum protection against UVA and UVB rays. If you have sensitive skin, consider sunscreens marketed for babies or kids. They're often mineral-based and fragrance-free. Chill out. When you've conquered the surf, take a break in the shade. The best beach shelters, like the Kelty Cabana, have sandbags, extra-long tent stakes, and plenty of cross-ventilation. Add a couple of portable seats, like the Kelty Camp Chair, a cooler, like the OtterBox Lunch Cooler, and a quick-drying beach towel, like one of the cool Nomadix towels in their National Park collection, and you'll have it made. You can carry all your gear in a backpack or an oversized tote. A tote from IKEA can hold up to 55 pounds of stuff and costs only 99 cents. Fish against the tide. Angling in the ocean? Prepare for a challenge. Surf fishing can be much more challenging than dropping a line from the shore of a peaceful lake or river. You're standing in the water as the foamy waves crash around you. You might get a bite and then get nothing. And you wait and wait and wait, but you can't just stand there. You have to keep moving because the waves keep pushing you back, says Emma Sidrell, 17, a Star Scout. You have to battle with the waves and the current. And every time you lose your bait, you have to walk all the way back to the beach. Overcoming these obstacles and still reeling in a fish can be a lot of fun. Troop 4443 of Austin, Texas, found this out during its weekend campout on the Texas coast. The girls caught a few fish, played in the water, and capped it all off with a delicious fish fry. To the coast. During summer camp a couple of years ago, many of the troop scouts enjoyed taking the fishing merit badge and wanted to plan their own fishing trip. So last year, they settled on Mustang Island State Park, a place with 5 miles of beachfront. One of the adult leaders had some of the fishing equipment they would need, and the troop borrowed the rest. For surf fishing, you need sturdier stuff, like heavy-duty line, bigger weights, and stronger rods. Your tackle needs to handle not only pulling in a large fish, but also enduring the rough waves and currents. The girls were hoping to land spotted sea trout or red drum, but in case they didn't, they packed hot dogs and hamburgers. Before they baited their hooks, the scouts, who were classified as swimmers, reviewed the safety rules and picked buddies. Then they set up a fishing area away from swimmers. In the surf, the scouts used shrimp and cut bait, pieces of fish or other seafood. These natural baits work well because their odor attracts fish. With their hooks baited, they ventured into the water. Most of us were doing it for fun, says Tenderfoot Scout 80 Heitman, 13. A few of us were working on the merit badge. I think a lot of the younger scouts just wanted to play in the water. While maneuvering through the waves was a chore, the biggest challenge was staying focused. You reel in a lot of lines and nothing happens, Emma says. And it's hard to tell, but when the top of the rod bends down and doesn't pop up as quickly or as hard, there's weight on it. That's when you might have a fish. However, during the 6+ hours of surf fishing, nobody reeled in a sea trout or a red drum, but most everyone was able to snag at least one fish, mainly catfish or gulf whiting. On the plate, many of the fish they caught weren't very meaty. Still, they didn't have to abandon their seafood supper. One of the adults had brought red drum, red snapper, and mahi-mahi. The adults grilled and fried the fish while the scouts prepared the side dishes, including fries, salad, coleslaw, and rice. It was so good, said Scout Evie Heitman, 11. The fishing trip ranked high for the girls. They tried a favorite activity in a new way and enjoyed it, with most of the troops making the four-hour journey to the coast. I really enjoyed this camp out, Addie says. It was very scouty. Stay safe. Before any aquatic activity, reviewing Scouting America's safety guides, including safe swim defense. In the ocean, there are added dangers, including jellyfish stings and rip currents. If you're stung by a jellyfish, you can remove the tentacles and rinse the sting with vinegar. If any swelling worsens, or if you have an allergic reaction, seek medical help. If you're swept out to sea by a rip current, stay calm and swim across the current instead of against it. When you reach calmer waters, you can return to shore. Being prepared helps you to have a safe and enjoyable trip. Scouting around. Field book facts about sharks. The odds of being attacked by a shark are slim. Some estimate the odds at 1 in 11.5 million. To help decrease your odds even more, follow these steps. Don't enter the water alone. Always swim with a buddy. Don't swim in places where others are fishing. Blood and fish bait can attract sharks. Shiny objects, like jewelry, can also attract sharks because they resemble a fish's shiny scales. Avoid areas where sharks have been sighted or are known to congregate. If you are in the water and a shark is spotted, return to shore quickly, but keep splashing to a minimum. Splashing can attract sharks because it sounds like injured prey. The ocean is home to more than 500 shark species, but only a handful tend to attack, like great white, bull, and tiger sharks. Most attacks have happened when people are on surfboards or other types of boards. It's believed that the sharks mistake the boards for its natural prey, such as a seal or sea lion. In the U.S., Florida has reported the most unprovoked shark attacks, with more than 900. But that's since the year 1837. Hawaii, California, South Carolina, and North Carolina round out the top five, all of which have reported fewer than 200 each in that same 188-year span. We've run out of time for today's episode of Kids on the Go. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. Kids on the Go is generously supported by the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. I'm Lisa Bernhard, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Kids on the Go is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Mm-hmm.